John Osgood here.
Kim Hoyt here.
Pat Chase.
Run Jeremy here.
Perfect.
Cool. All right. So welcome everybody to the Traffic and Safety Commission. We're just going to start. We have a few minutes to review and adopt. I'll call them transcripts, but we have detailed the account of our meetings of May 15 and July 17. So let me ask the commission if there are any comments or corrections on those, and if we have a motion to approve those minutes.
Can I laugh at part of them?
Yeah.
Commissioner Hoyt interrupts. Talk amongst the audience. And of course, Matt Walsh murmurs to Chairman. Someone's doing a nice job with me.
Yep.
I'm interrupting at all the minutes. I'm not exactly sure why.
Is this AI saying murmurs and interrupts and stuff like that? Or do we have somebody belabored,
disgruntled employee?
I don't know. We do have that has to read through the minutes.
So we do have a former court reporter that is doing the minutes for this. So I'm working with her on maybe some more abbreviated, but she is doing a very good and accurate job.
Oh, very accurate.
I guess I'm interrupting that.
I never turn on my mic, so she's...
So if you all can tell, I mean, these aren't minutes. These are basically, you've got somebody recording the meeting and then a court reporter basically transcribing fairly pretty much verbatim, you know, what happened. So anyway, so a motion to approve the minutes of May 15, 2024 and July 17, 2024.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Those are approved. I'll sign those after. Yeah. Okay. So before we turn over to public comment, maybe
do you want to do both minutes?
Do the second set, or we did both together?
I thought it was both together.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. Perfect.
As the next item on the agenda is public comment, let me just kind of get a feel for the room. How many are here for the stop sign at Iowa and Monroe? How many are here for the stop sign at Iowa and Monroe? Anyone? Okay, so are you all here for parking on Park? Okay, so in the minutes, or what I'll call the transcript, you know, we have many pages of discussion that we had on this topic at the last meeting, and then we tabled it to be able to get some information about the numbers of people who are parking there with the beginning of school. And I know Jack's been out. He might have met with some of you all to collect some of that data. So we have a lot of information from you. We have the petitions. But why don't we open it up, and if people would like to comment on the proposal, go ahead and take the podium and just say your name and address so we have it for the record, if you don't mind. Yes, we can. You want to check and see if that mic's on? There we go.
My name is Michael Anderson. I've lived at 1215 Park since 1988. Today we're discussing the parking on between the 1200 and the 1300 on Park, basically on the Dominican side. So we're all talking about the same thing. Because we live at Park on Park between the 12 and 1300, it's a fire lane. We all knew it when we bought into the houses, purchased the property. You could not park on the right side, which is the east side of Park. So the only alternative is to park on the west side of Park. I'll give you my experience just today. And I'm sure I see some of my neighbors here that have had similar experiences. I have three cars between me and my fiance. By 8 o'clock, I got to get it parked on the street so the other car can come out of a single driveway. By 8:15, there's 40 to 50 kids riding their bikes down the street every day. If you don't have a spot by 9:45, you cannot park on the west side of Park, because the university parks all the way down. So today I had a parking spot. We had a lady come to the house at 1 o'clock. She parked in the driveway. I gave up my spot on park to go to the mail, to the post office. Came back, it's gone. I parked in my driveway, back of her. My fiance came back a little later, parked behind me. No place to park on the east, west side of park. This is between 2 and 3:30 in the afternoon. So from 8:45 to that time, no, you have to fight for a place to park. Guests, residents, service people, everybody. So I ended up parking to get the two cars out. Luckily, she got a spot. I had to park about 100 yards by division. There was one spot left so the guests could get out of the house. That's today. I'm sure every neighbor here can tell you a story like that every day. Now, I don't know if you know about the parking around Park, Dominican University. Is everybody familiar? Is there a picture up there we can look at?
Get these.
The streets?
Yeah, we're familiar with the parking.
All right, you are.
Yep.
Then my question is, we have restricted parking because of the fire lane, which is fine. We accepted that when we bought the houses. Why are there restrictions on every street around Dominican University except on our side of park between the 12 and 1300? I'd like you to write these questions down and I'd like an answer. Secondly, we have a security problem on park. We have had break-ins. It's easy for a person to disguise themselves as a student sitting on the, as a student. I see cars there sitting all the time. See people sitting there all day long. How many people in River Forest have streets like that? That's the second thing I want to know about. I got another question for you guys. What's the speed limit on park? Can anybody answer?
Make your comment. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to go through all the public comment. We're not going to engage during public comment.
The public comment is, you can write it down. There's no sign. Up to a month ago, they just put up a sign that going north on park, 25 miles. If you pull out of the driveway of the Dominican University at the north end of park, you can go 50 miles an hour and there's no signs. But if you go 50 feet to the north of that driveway, there's no parking signs. And who's there? The president of the university. And they have a sign that says 25 miles. So these students come out of that parking lot and zoom down the street with no signs at all. And my last thing to say, this is not the residents, my problem. This is the university. And by allowing them to park there, you're not allowing them to solve their own problem. And there's one other thing. On the north side of Greenfield, from Keystone to Thatcher, on the Dominican side, where there's ample parking, there's no parking signs at all what the university could use. But on our street, they can park. And my last thing is, I honestly want to tell you bluntly, I feel like a second-class citizen. We pay the taxes, and this is what we're dealing with. It's very frustrating, and it's a dangerous street. So everybody on the street signed a petition, and there's a reason why. We're the only street that has no parking restrictions, 8 to 5, 4 on. I go around the blocks of those streets. Forest, Greenfield. That's my point. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of frustration. And it's, I don't know why you don't even have a representative from the university. Why aren't they obligated to do something? That's all I can say. But I'm warning you, it's a dangerous street and somebody's going to get hurt because there's no speed limit and there's no, and oh, by the way, yesterday was the first time I ever saw a policeman give a ticket in 10 years on Park.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Other comment? And obviously, we don't usually restrict length of comment, but if you could keep it brief, that'll be helpful for everyone.
Hi there. My name is Jerry Humbert. I've lived at 1319 Park Avenue since 2002. I just want to provide a little bit of historical context because there is so much confusion about what's happening on Park Avenue. And I think that if I just give this brief overview of what's happened there between us and the university in regards to parking, we'll maybe answer some questions. In 2005, Dominican University changed its campus by its master plan. One of the changes was building a parking garage. Park Avenue and Greenfield Street residents, including myself, actively supported this initiative, seeing it as a solution to our residential streets, traffic, and parking issues. Our collective support and collaboration were instrumental in making this change a reality. Different individuals opposed the planned campus expansion because trees were removed to accomplish the construction. The Park Avenue and Greenfield residents had one request: that Dominican University install a gate prohibiting traffic from Park Avenue to the west side of campus where most of their parking existed. The plan came to fruition, and as predicted, traffic on both Greenfield Street and Park Avenue was significantly reduced. All was well in our part of the village. Fast forward to 2020. Several things happened to reverse the progress in terms of traffic and parking. First, a KLOA parking study removed the two-hour parking on Park Avenue adjacent to Dominican. No one on Park Avenue was aware of this change in parking restrictions. There was supposedly a postcard that went out. Not a single neighbor I talked to is aware of getting a postcard that said the two-hour parking restrictions would be removed. And believe me, we would have objected to that. Second, Dominican University removed the gate that prevented east-west traffic on campus. Since it was COVID-19, the impact of such concurrent changes was not initially evident. Due to my house location, I noticed a significant increase in traffic on Park Avenue in the spring of 2020 when the students started to come back and began my investigation. To my surprise, the cars were using Park Avenue in the spring of 2020 to access the Dominican University campus, and they were also parking on Park Avenue for extended periods. I discovered that the gate preventing the east-west traffic had been removed, and the two-hour parking restrictions were gone. Regarding the missing gate, I first notified Dominican University by phone in May, and I followed up by an email in August of 2022. Dominican University took nearly 2 years to reinstall the gate. To say they dragged their feet is an understatement. The gate was reinstalled in May of 2024. Park Avenue residents collectively noticed DU students and the staff filled all parking spots on Park Avenue during the 2023 school year. Residents came together to object to Park Avenue being filled all day by the DU population. Police Chief James O'Shea provided relief by posting temporary resident-only parking placards. We were told we would get permanent resident-only parking. Return to Park Avenue with those temporary resident-only parking placards. To say it has been chaotic in Park Avenue, those parking placards were removed, like unbeknownst to us. And I think it was because there was an objection from Dominican University. I don't know for sure what happened, but those parking placards were removed. And then it was summer, then school started. To say it has been chaotic on Park Avenue for the last 4 weeks as DU has resumed classes does not justify what's happening. DU has a parking problem, most likely due to their record enrollment and the sale of the Priory campus to Fenwick. That campus held a lot of cars. They no longer can park their cars there. They cannot shuttle their kids. They used to shuttle their kids down Dominican from the Priory to the main campus. Walking, biking, and driving is unsafe for anyone on Park Avenue. It's that simple. We need urgent attention from Dominican University. This is not a fault of the students or of the residents of Park Avenue. This is a shortcoming of Dominican University to plan adequately. I'm not a parking expert, but DU could take some temporary emergency, and I think we need these emergency measures tomorrow to solve this issue while they determine longer-term solutions. They could park temporarily on their property like they did in 2006 and 2007 while building the garage. There's a picture, and I have it here for you, of them on their front lawn. They put some gravel down, and they parked the cars there for 2006, 2007 while the parking garage was being built. They needed to do that like tomorrow. They could lease parking from Menards and shuttle students, staff, and faculty to campus. You could walk from Menards to DU. It's a 15-minute walk, and there's a sidewalk the entire way. They could bike from offside parking. They could encourage carpooling to give premier parking spots to those who carpool. There's many solutions. For residents of Park Avenue, we have a petition signed by 17 of 18 homes on Park Avenue requesting resident-only parking. We would greatly appreciate your support. We know you put residents at the top of your decision matrix when making decisions, and due to the sharp turn of events on Park Avenue, we need some assistance. Thank you for your service, and thank you for watching out for us, the residents of River Forest. In my notes, I have from the 2005 plan development, I have all of the referrals where Dominican said Park Avenue is going to be quiet, that Park Avenue access onto their campus is strictly for residents, the resident students that park there and literally don't move their cars. And that's so not what's happening. Like it's been so chaotic. I think the other part is that we need to look at, like, did their enrollment skyrocket? Is it due to the sale of the Priory? What happened? Something has happened that has drastically changed things. It's definitely a safety issue. It feels like cars are three-point turning in all of our driveways. If their spot opens, they're trying to get that spot. It's like the mall on Christmas Eve. Someone is going to get hurt. It really is not a great situation. And, you know, as residents of Park Avenue, the current situation has really diminished, like, our enjoyment of our home, and it diminishes property values because we look like we live in a parking lot in a very chaotic parking situation. Thank you so much. I have my notes from which refers to the plan development where they parked the students in 2006, 2007. These are my notes, which refer to the numerous instances where they committed in that plan development that it wasn't going to be an issue for Park Avenue. And then I also have a timeline of all the things that have happened from us supporting Dominican University's parking garage until today. So I didn't make enough for everybody. I'm sorry. There's so many people here.
You can hand that up.
Thank you so much. And we know it's stressful for us, but we know you guys are thinking about the residents. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Ms. Humbert. We appreciate your comments. Anyone else like to comment?
Hi, my name is Louise Flagg, and I live at 1331 Park, and I've been there since 2004. And I don't want to repeat everything that Michael and Jerry said because I think they covered our concerns, but I do want to make note, since none of you live on Park in Greenfield that I'm aware of, is that it's not only that Park has the Dominican students along with the fire route, it's a unique street in River Forest in that it's the cut-through street. I live right at the intersection of Greenfield and Park. When I come out of my driveway every day, it's a challenge. I have South Park, North Park, and Greenfield coming up my driveway. I've had numerous incidents with people coming and going, riding right through the stop sign, which, by the way, we just, I think, got maybe 2 years ago. So And I'd say 50% of the people that come through that stop sign abide by it. It's a rolling stop. My kids are now in college and I've raised them on that street. And my message to them since the first time they were crossing streets around there is assume you will be hit. That's how dangerous it is. People go right through stop signs. So we have traffic cutting through Greenfield off Thatcher to Park, and they either go north or they go south and they go on to Oak Park or they go down into the city. But it's not just River Forest residents and it's not just Dominican. So I think you need to take that and keep that in mind, because the Dominican students, that's one population creating parking issues with the cut through traffic. And then, as Jerry said, you have the kids in the neighborhood riding their bikes. There's a big posse that every morning at 8:15 drives down Park Avenue, and in front of the president's home, in the last 2 weeks, there have been cars there. There have been cars on my side of the street, which is the east side. Jerry and I have called every day. We called and demanded they come out and ticket. And it's unfortunate for those students because it's, a $45 ticket. We've called every day for the last 2 weeks. And that's what we'll just keep doing. And I think that's a good example of why two-hour parking won't work. They've never ticketed. It doesn't work. And as Michael said, you've got Keystone, you have Park, and you have Forest, the 1100 blocks. The streets are wider. There's no parking allowed at all. Why are we taking the brunt of Dominican's problem?
Did you say your name is Louise Flagg?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
I think that's it. That's all I have to say.
All right, thank you. Anyone else on this topic? Okay. Why don't we turn it over to the commission? If I know, Kim, Commissioner White, you have to leave in a minute. Do you have any comment or anybody else?
Okay. Can I?
Yeah.
You gentlemen are from Dominican, right?
Yeah.
Do you have anything, any comments?
Yeah. Come on, Spall.
Thanks. Thanks to all the residents who've come here tonight. My name is Mark Titzer. I'm the chief financial officer at Dominican University, and I've been aware of this issue now for the last several months. Just in response to some of the comments made, I'm sorry that the increased traffic has created some stress and problems for neighbors. We do have record enrollment at Dominican, and we're actively working to try and understand how to accommodate record enrollment. It's actually a pretty good problem to have. A lot of our competitive schools are struggling in enrollment these days. But just to acknowledge a few of the things that were said, I recognize that the 2005 plan development did have our gate was down during a period of 2020 that was brought to our attention. I think actually Matt and Dan Opals here saw to that installation pretty quickly. I think that we had some turnover at Dominican, and there was a period of time we didn't remove the gate. I think it was damaged or destroyed. I guess a student drove through it actually, but it was not clear that that needed to be put back up until it was made clear to us. So hopefully that's correcting some of the east-west flow. You know, regarding the KOLA study, I think the village commissioned that study, and I think the upshot of that study was by design to congregate parking around the perimeter of Dominican, as opposed to other streets like Franklin or Thomas. I'm guessing that's not what the residents of Park Avenue would prefer, but that wasn't, you know, Dominican's study. It was the village's study to determine how to best account for that. So we are monitoring our parking garage statistics. We are investigating other shuttling or other outlot opportunities, carpooling, etc. I would say that I don't think we would entertain parking cars on the lawn at the south east corner of Park and Division. I don't think that would really be a good idea. And I guess I'm concerned for the village that if the parking restrictions are put back to where they were in 2019 along Park, we might find that other neighboring streets will see issues as a result of that. So I appreciate all the neighbors being here tonight. I'm sure that living next door to the university is not as quiet as you'd like. And I hope that our students are respectful and quiet as they leave campus. I'm sure some of them are not. And we continue to message to students to use our parking garage. Our parking fees are very low. It's $150 for the e-slot if you are a resident student, and only $50 for faculty, staff, and students to park in our garage, which has been full, particularly on Mondays and Wednesdays during our peak times of 10 to 2 p.m. So we continue to study this issue, and I get that that is a proximal issue for the residents on Park Avenue, and we're happy to help in other ways that we can to be good neighbors. So thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Any other public comment? If you keep it brief, please.
Comment to the gentleman that just spoke.
Being a good neighbor it's nice if Dominican was a good neighbor, but it's not the people on Park's responsibility to solve your problem. You say if they don't park on the west side of Park between the 12 and 13 streets, they're going to go all around. Well, guess what? There are signs all around. There's no other place to go. By allowing them to park on Park, they are not solving the problem.
Okay, thank you.
That's all I'm saying.
Got it.
It's their job.
Why don't we let's turn? I'd like to turn it over to the commission. I will note that at least as far as I think, if we have our data correct, and we may be wrong, there are no parking restrictions on Thomas. And there are very few parking restrictions currently on Franklin. The only parking restrictions currently on Franklin are student loading zone. So the idea that there are not, that every other street around is restricted, that's not accurate.
That's not true.
Well, we can.
You're going farther, way far away from
okay.
the university.
Well, we can confirm what's true or not. But, okay. The fact is that I do think the commission does have to consider the potential knock-on effects that if we reimpose parking restrictions on Park, while the goal may be to encourage and direct students to park in the parking garage, we just, I think, have to acknowledge a strong likelihood that some number of parkers will find other places to park on adjacent streets. And so we just need to be prepared to address that question, whether we address it tonight or whether we wait and see if those neighbors complain. I just think that's something we're going to have to be aware of. So I'll stop there and let me go to Kim, because I know that Commissioner Hoyt has to leave early tonight. So you don't have to speak, Kim, but if you have anything you want to.
Yeah, I would like to find a solution for the residents, because even though I do know the KLA study recommended this option, they have a unique situation where they can't park on one side because there's no parking because of the fire lanes, and then the other side is completely booked. So this is a unique situation where other streets might be able to have half of the street for them and half the street for students. If that was going to be the case, they don't have this option. So, and a two block street's a pretty long area to have to find additional parking for themselves. So I think that there has to be a solution that we can find that would provide them some additional parking for just for the residents as River Forest residents.
Thanks, Kim. Anybody else have a comment or question?
Yeah, I'll make a comment here. So I did my drive today at 11:15, which obviously is something's going on at school at 11:15. So I drive in, the garage is full. Very nice guard was there. I just saw him telling people to drive around and look. On Division, it was 100% full in front of the college, expected. As I'm going on Division towards Ashland, that was 100% from Park to Ashland, and then about 25% continuing on to Lathrop. Let's see, where am I? There were cars on Thomas, In fact, I was a little late because my neighbor was complaining about the cars on Thomas today. He lives on Thomas. And they were also up on Force, which is directly north of the main entrance. So north of Thomas, there were probably, I don't know, maybe a dozen cars up that way. And some over Franklin and also on Greenfield near Park. So there were a lot of cars today. Now, congratulations on your enrollment. I like schools that are doing well. I like you as a neighbor. I'm right down in Keystone near Thomas. But we got to figure this out. I mean, it's tough. And there were a lot of cars today. And I think it's just an ongoing problem. I'm sure everything is not remote anymore. But I have, here's a couple questions. I'm just going to throw this out as a thought to the other. I emphasize with the residents. I mean, it's bad there, and I understand trying to move your car out. It's a problem. Do we make it partial? I'm just going to put this out there. I think there's about 35 parking spots. You take 15 of them and turn it into resident only, and that gives you another 15 for students. You know, so along that strip from, I'll just say, from the driveway down to Division, do we split that up somehow between resident and the college? I'm just going to throw that out. We can think about it. On the west side. Yeah. So that would at least allow the residents somewhere to park. You know, I understand, you know, there is no parking there, but that's an idea. Yeah, I'm done. We're going to discuss it first.
So we discussed this a few months ago. We've gotten the feedback from the residents. In terms of priority, it should be the residents. In terms of the neighbor, Dominican, I look at it as a corporation, and the only thing that makes corporations move is an instigator. How many spaces are in the garage? I forget. I was going through the data, and when we looked from August into September, there were times when there were plenty of spaces in the garage, but the total garage, 1,100? 550?
I think, John, in the data that was pulled is that some days it's been like zero spaces available and some days spaces available.
Right.
And it varies.
Right. So in looking at that, and you know, I'm sorry, but letting people come to school, whether you're getting tuition from them or not, it's not my problem. It's not our problem as commissioners and residents. What we need is to fix a problem on the street. And a couple of good points were brought up by our residents with safety. And I'm not saying it's students at Dominican that are sitting in their cars casing the homes on Park Avenue. But if somebody sees an opening where they can sit in a very public place for a large amount of time and case a house, that's dangerous. The fact that it is Park Avenue, I remember 20 years ago when we were sitting here, we made that. We put the stop sign on Division. So the emergency vehicles could go north and south on Park Avenue. So Park Avenue is a very important artery in this community and remains so and will remain so. I'm thinking that at this point, it's going to be very difficult for me to vote any other way than residential parking only on that side of the street, which not only gives our residents priority, safety, and access, but then may instigate Dominican to fix their problem, which is they have a lot of people driving, and perhaps they're not buying the passes. Perhaps, you know, who knows what the issue is, but there are spaces in that garage. Today it was filled up. Today's a Wednesday. Some days it's not filled up. So, but that's nothing that we can solve here as a commission for River Forest. we're here to solve the residents' issue, which are traffic and safety, and the concerns of our residents, which in my mind is priority. And I think it's also being a good neighbor to Dominican, in that you don't get to, you know, say, okay, there's a few more months, we can just figure this out. When you guys put this PUD together or plan development, whatever you guys did, and you put 500 spaces in, you didn't think about, max enrollment or over enrollment to that degree. But again, that's not our problem. So anyway, to cut it long, not short, I think we have to reinstate resident parking. I mean, it'll make this map look prettier. You know, it'll all be the same around Dominican. Our residents will have safety. They're going to have access. And again, they will be prioritized in the eyes of the village to have their residential parking.
And John, just to clarify, when you say reinstate resident only, my understanding of the state of play is that previously it was 2-hour parking. Mm. It wasn't resident only. And then, as yep. one of the residents pointed out, after a resident complaint, the police, you know, kind of unilaterally changed it by temporary order to be resident only. I will say that members of this commission complained. I complained about that action because generally we want those kinds of changes to happen. We want those kinds of changes to happen through this process, not just because somebody calls and talks to the police chief. But, you know, I hope you now. Well, doesn't really matter. I mean, so I guess what happened, but the problem is the facts are, the only point I'm saying is that mm-hmm. it used to be 2-hour parking, and I don't hear any of you asking to reinstate 2-hour parking. You're asking to, as your petition says, you're asking to have resident only from 8 to 4, right? That's your proposal. Yeah, I understand.
The fire lane.
I understand. So let me go to Dave.
Sorry, I just have a question. So it was 2-hour parking from 2005 until 2019.
I don't know the exact period. I don't know the exact period, but.
Okay.
Signs came down. We didn't notice because it was COVID.
Yeah.
And then 2022, both the gate comes down or be gone, and then the parking. The kids were all coming back, and everyone's like, "We thought our mistake that our signs were taken down." And then we started emailing each other, and Kathy was on the emails, and Chief O'Shea was on the emails, and then Chief O'Shea came out with like the speed signs and the police officers, and they saw the danger in the situation, and they put up. We did not ask for it. They put up temporary resident-only parking, and it was literally nirvana. We went from total chaos and danger to perfection. And then the parking, then they told us that's going to become permanent. They were going to set coordinates. And then over the summer, the signs came down, and then school has started, and the last 4 weeks have been crazy.
Yeah, and just to say, so after that happened, we and the commission asked to remove the temporary restriction that the police placed, so that we could assess, get some data to assess primarily how that block was being utilized. And, you know, recognizing that this data is sort of a limited set at the beginning of school, but Jack has gone out and collected data. And so I'll just, in our materials, by the way, it's PDF page 201, if you want to look it up. But, you know, we did assess basically the available spots that were open on Park compared to the available spots on the garage.
We would never thought around anything. We literally thought there was a mistake thing.
Yeah, well, thank you for clarifying that. Thanks. That's helpful.
I was going to throw out that it seems like for a number of years, 2-hour parking worked in the sense that it sort of maintained an equilibrium where students were getting some parking and the residents were able to use the spaces as well. And I, you know, admittedly, it was probably not perfect for anybody. You know, I guess it feels to me like between COVID and sort of a series of dramatic actions, we kind of got away from that. But it does seem like if we were going to revert to something, reverting to two-hour parking would make more sense because it's the only thing that's been in place there for a long period of time without too many issues. And I suppose that there might, you know, maybe there's an argument to say like two-hour parking with an exemption for residents or something like that. So, 2 hour parking except for residents who can park there all day if they want to. And something like that seems like it would accommodate both the university's need to, you know, have places for students to park and also the residents need to be able to park places.
Arun?
Yeah, so I think one of the residents said that even though there's a 2 hour parking limit, implementing that 2 hour limit is a hard thing. Because she said police are not ticketing. So I don't think if we put two-hour parking across the whole thing, and even in all our village issues, the police are there for a few days, and then it's impossible for them to be there long-term. So end of the day, that's not going to be implemented. I think I like Rick's idea of keeping it half and half or something like that, where residents get there full-time, and only residents can park, and there's no need to worry. I mean, I'm sure even if you do resident, there's sometimes students might park, but at least if the police come, they can see the resident sticker's not on the car. They can directly ticket it. Well, otherwise, it's really hard to say when somebody parked for the 2 hours, unless you're clocking the time in and out. Somebody might say, I just parked.
My only comment to that, Arun, is we're talking 45 spaces, right? Out of 550 in the garage, so that's 10%. And then there's another, I mean, I'd studied at Dominican. I was in that library all the time. There were outdoor spots around. I think those are probably permit only. So we're at 10% of spots just on Park Avenue, right? 10, and then there's more spaces available. If we go half and half, we're talking about 20 spaces. Which were
15 and 15.
So now we're down to 5%. I don't know if 5% is going to make a difference.
But like which half, right? I mean, like, you know, every other space just, or like the north half.
Not,
I mean,
I'm just not interested in a rabbit hole. I'm not interested in special permit. I'm not interested in, you know, if you guys want to talk about 2 hours, we can talk about 2 hours. But I, you know, resident only. There's a lot of red here. That's no parking. I mean, it just makes sense, not just because of the safety. Because we need. There's going to be less cars there if it's resident only. It's not the widest street in the village. Emergency vehicles need to get through. We need some semblance of safety, and we need the residents. 18 or 19 of them to be able to park in front of their house because their driveways aren't 100 yards long like Dominicans.
Can I ask a question of Mark? Do you guys have a sense of how many, I think you mentioned the term maybe in your pricing, River Forest residents who are enrolled students? Do you have quite a few? Or are most of your students from not River Forest residents?
Well, no, you meant Dominican residents.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no. River Forest residents who go to Dominican. Yeah, okay. Okay.
But you have residents that live on campus that park in a different lot, and they can no longer exit onto Park Avenue, correct? They are the ones that are able to. And then how many people are in that lot? Or how many spaces? Spaces. So you have that many residents with cars parking in that lot. Okay. And then so that's another 250 cars in that lot plus the
550 plus the ground.
And there's what, 3,000 part-time and full-time students?
I wasn't thinking of residents in terms of student residents.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Well,
so how many students? 3,000 students, part-time and full-time? Just that. And then how many staff and personnel? And how many spots do you have total inside the campus parking spots? So about 2,000 spots missing then.
But only half of the resident students have cars.
So well, about 1,500 spots.
We have a need for more parking. Dominican has a need for more parking. We have an issue over 40 spots on Park Avenue.
Right.
Nor will I. That sounds like a tough road to hoe. You got a lot of cars coming in, but I mean I don't know if you want to chat more, but I mean I'm willing to throw a motion out there right now, and see if we have the votes, because we have other things to talk about.
Mr. Chase,
thank you.
I'm under the impression that there's an ordinance. Or there already is an existing ordinance for Park Avenue on the west side. Exactly what is that ordinance, if I may ask?
Actually, the ordinance for the restriction was revoked with the action in 2020. Previously, there had been a 2-hour restriction.
Okay.
That was struck from the code.
So right now, there is no restriction, am I correct?
No, aside from overnight parking at the...
Right. Okay. Thank you. That was my question. So we don't have any impediment.
Currently, no ordinance, no restriction on the west side.
For us to suggest something to the board.
Yeah, there's a limited period where there is a restriction, and limited space there.
Thank you,
Rick. Did you have other questions or comments?
I just want to say one thing about the 2-hour parking, which is that I understand that it's a policing issue, but ultimately, you know. Let's take one step at a time. If we put 2-hour parking in place and cars are not being ticketed, then, you know, talk to the police department and ask them to start ticketing and be more aggressive about it and to continue that practice for a couple of months until word spreads around. I would hate to restrict all parking there or make it resident only parking there simply because we don't think that traffic enforcement will happen if we make it 2 hours. I mean, to me, that sort of negates the idea of putting up any signage. If we take actions based on whether or not people will get ticketed, then we might as well not put up stop signs too, because people don't get ticketed for rolling through those.
Yeah, there's other 2-hour parking or restricted parking in parts of the village, but you're right. There's not that kind of 2-hour restriction. There used to be, obviously, there used to be on your block, but there's not now.
Okay, quick question. I'm Sean Hampton, 1231 Park. You made a comment earlier, did you? You said you didn't like the police chief making, you know, the decision, whatever. So did this board tell the police chief to take that down? Or said that?
We asked at a prior meeting, we did make a request that we rescind that temporary order that the police put in.
What reason?
I said so that we could actually collect data and get information about how that was being used. We wanted to do it once the school was back in session so we could see how the block was being used. So, you know, what we've been trying to do on the commission, not always successfully, but we've been trying to make our decisions in less of an ad hoc way and more in a data-driven way, where we try to collect data. We try to apply standards, you know, so if there's a request for a stop sign, for example, or other type of traffic calming devices, we're trying to utilize a more rigorous data-driven model to try to avoid ad hoc decisions just because. And so maybe it is that somebody didn't call, but there could be other circumstances where we have a lot of people that come in and they want a stop sign just because they want a stop sign. And so we try to apply standards when that's going to happen. Here, you know, the standards are a little bit different because, you know, we're talking about a kind of a unique situation with this parking, you know, next to Dominican. But the reason was that we, I think if I could, I don't know if I can speak for everyone in the commission, but I think we were uncomfortable about that just happening, that temporary resident only being just installed without it being addressed at this commission. And so we wanted to have a chance to address it at the commission, collect some data and have this kind of a meeting so then we could decide what kind of recommendation to make. And I guess this is as good a time as any to note that if we do make a recommendation tonight, that is a recommendation. And then because there would likely be an ordinance change, then our recommendation would go to the village board and the village board would have to decide whether they're going to accept or reject our recommendation. So
I don't know if you get back to this for a while, but Chief O'Shea made the comment, here. In the beginning of the school year, yeah, they're great. They're to enforce it, even the 2 hour, and then it disappears. And I think the comment Chief made to a couple of us, he doesn't have enough resources for him to come around and chop the tires.
Sure.
And we said, we agree, we know that because the cars are sitting here and they know they have other things to do. Going back to that,
yeah,
but
no,
I'm sorry, Dave.
Go ahead. No, I totally get that. My only point was that I just want to be cautious about sort of letting the enforcement tail wag the dog, right? Like, I don't think we want to necessarily make. I'm not saying that 2 hours is the right decision or the wrong thing. I'm merely saying that to not put up 2 hour parking simply because we don't think that it will be enforced to me doesn't seem like a great reason. There might be plenty of other reasons. I was just making the point that I don't think that lack of enforcement should be what drives our decisions with respect to signage.
Let's just see if there are other comments from the commission.
Right. So I agree with John. I don't think a university has more resources than all the residents trying to figure out where they should be parking. I think there could be other mitigation strategies we can put in place that eventually the university is forced to do more parking construction.
And the benefit to the residents is 5% of a detriment to the university. And you know, we're talking, like I said, 45 spaces. The benefit to the residents of River Forest is much greater than the detriment to the neighbor to the west, because they have all this money coming in, right, guys? With this enrollment. You know, like Arun said, they have the resources. They have the land. It's a beautiful lawn. I had my kids take pictures on that lawn when they were little and cute. They're not little and cute anymore. But anyway, benefit, detriment, residents, priority, safety, access, resident only.
Let me ask. So you, John, obviously in favor of resident only, and you know, I hear Dave suggesting, you know, kind of taking an incremental least restrictive approach, which would be to reinstall a 2 hour parking and push for enforcement. Do any other, and we can, anyone can make a motion. We can vote on the motion, have discussion on it. I'm not trying to put a thumb on that scale, but any other comments about those choices, if those are choices we're considering?
If I may, Mr. Chairman, yeah. Recently when I'm on the 800 block of Bonnie Bray. When the Sheridan put in their assisted living facility, we all were very concerned, had meetings and so on and so on. So we put in, I believe we have 8 to 4, 8 to 5 parking on the 800 block and around the corner. And it's, trust me, I've lived in this village since 1974. That's 50 years. It's worked. It was great. We can, occasionally there's someone whose cleaning lady might park. So, and we always know, we call in and say, you know, Susie Q is going to be parked in the street for 2 hours. It's working fine. There's no employees parking there that we can tell. It the 8 to 5 or 8 to 4, whatever it is, it's working great. So just as a thought, maybe we could transfer that over to Park Avenue or some kind of.
And I guess the spirit of full disclosure, we're trying to deal with the facts. I think the blocks of Forest and Keystone immediately south of Concordia are resident only. Keystone north of the campus is no parking. just a little stretch of no parking on Forest, and then up by North Avenue, it's 2 hour.
Well, you're talking not Concordia, Dominican.
Did I misspeak? Dominican. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about Dominican.
Correct.
And then by my notes, Thomas is open. And I think, as Rick identified, I think there are some issues with overflow parking happening on Thomas. Franklin, I believe, is open except for student loading area by Willard School there. I'll just reiterate my comment. I'm not suggesting generally in this commission, we haven't tried to solve all the problems at once. We've generally, if we've made some change, we recognize that there might be an effect on an adjacent street, and we've usually waited to see if those neighbors complain and we react to that too. But, I think we can anticipate that we may be back addressing this issue if we restrict the parking on Park.
Well, we'll certainly be back here addressing that issue if Dominican does nothing about their parking issue. Yes, I agree with you.
It is definitely very difficult. I feel terrible for the students, but not so terrible that I will call them to the police to get them tickets. They're getting a $45 ticket from Prospect to go to the year.
Yeah.
I really feel like Dominican is letting their students down. They need to solve that problem quickly.
Okay, thank you. Would anyone like to, is there a motion to be made? Use passive voice.
Well, I will make the motion that we turn the block 1300 block of Park Avenue on the west side to resident only.
What hours?
Resident only.
What hours?
Petition was
8 to 4. What is it?
Petition was 8 to 4 for reference.
8 to 4.
8 to 4
was on
school days.
On school days, I'll go with the petition.
Monday through Friday, 8 to 4 would be the motion.
Yes. That would be the motion.
So resident only, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday is your motion.
That's my motion.
All right. Is there a second? Okay. Commissioner Chase seconds. Any discussion on John's motion? Okay. We can vote.
Member Oska?
Aye.
Member Gillis? Member Jayaraman, Member Chase, Member Caro, and Chairman Reese.
Yes. Okay, so that motion carries. That's as I mentioned, a non-binding recommendation. That'll go to the village board. I'm not sure if it'll go at the next meeting, but if you have an interest in attending, you know, look out for that, and you may want to attend that village board meeting too. Express your support for that. Okay, thanks all for your comments and your courtesy. Thank you. I don't see anyone here for the Iowa Monroe stop sign, so I'm going to suggest we continue to table that and not take it up.
And if that's what you guys want to do, that's what we can do. I think one of the main keys that you guys mentioned last meeting was, you know, the data. So I didn't know if you guys wanted to discuss the data that was provided in terms of the 85th percentile speed, the ADT, all that kind of crash history, just to go over, I guess, how we want to approach stop signs.
Yeah, why don't we talk about that briefly? Thanks, Jack. So if you recall, you know, we also, Sean Herring was the resident. He'd raised it. He wasn't able to attend. I'm assuming, is anyone on Zoom on this issue?
Sasha Santiago is on Zoom, but I'm not sure if that is for Dominican or for.
Okay. Yeah. So one of the things we did note at the last meeting, that we do have this toolbox. We have a matrix. We have a point scale to try to at least be a guide as to what kind of actions, traffic improvements we might make. And as I think everyone here knows, that you can assign points based on speed, 85th percentile, based on crash history, based on volume. Jack was good and sort of collected that information and showed, we can get into more detail, but based on this calculation, it rated 41 points, which barely puts it out of level one. Level one is 25 to 39 points, which has sort of no traffic flow changes at that level. Level two, which has minimal traffic flow changes, but not including a stop sign, is 40 to 59 points. And you don't really get into stop signage until you get to 60 to 79 points on the matrix that we have. So, you know, I guess there are a couple questions. Jack's collected that data. We got a lot of data delivered to us. I was going to joke the good news and the bad news.
Yeah.
The good news, we got data. The bad news, we got data. And so I do think, and Jack did point out, there are a couple pages that are summary pages. And so I guess I'd request that at future meetings, I do think this data is really helpful. I don't know how much people need all of the backup detail, but I think having the summary page, I think, is really helpful.
Yeah. So I'll address that. So one of the cool things that, well, first I want to say, since our last meeting, we did buy a nice little tool. It was a nice little speed monitor that's really not really visible, but it tracks speed, it tracks the amount of cars, does all of this stuff for us. And when we gather and we collect the data back, it shoots out all these nice charts, tables, and everything like that, which for an engineering consultant, that's like $5,000 a pop. Whereas now we bought this tool and we will use it as often as we need it. We did it for Iowa and Monroe. We just did it for Dominican as well. If we ever get any requests, we just put up the sign, wait a couple weeks, pull it back, and bring the data. One thing that I did want to mention, so this cover sheet, as Chairman Reese pointed out, this cover sheet has everything that you guys are looking for when you're talking about this matrix that Thomas Engineering put together.
And I think you told me that Jack is, like, if we look at page 125 of the materials, I think that's, is that?
Yeah, that's the sheet.
So if you look at PDF page 125
in your packets.
In your packet.
I just, you know, some people are really data nerds and want to get into the nitty gritty details. So we want to make sure that we provided that.
So John, when you were studying at Dominican, all those hours.
It was for law school. Data. Yeah,
that comment couldn't go uncommented on.
There you go.
Okay, so go ahead, Jack. Sorry to interrupt you. I just wanted, if you want to follow along on your.
So yeah, if you want to follow along on your sheets, but yeah, up here, which is something that when we look at our scoring sheet, we look at vehicle speed, which is 85th percentile. So what's nice about this, when you look at your summary, so it does actually everything individually. Volumes, speed, all of that. So your speed limit on Iowa and Monroe, 25. Your 85th percentile speed is 30. So we're showing we're actually hitting the 85th percentile. And when you look at your scoring sheet, if your 85th percentile speed is 4 miles per hour or over, they get 6 points. So you give them 6 points. So that's what's really nice is actually this is now data driven. This is actually what's happening out there. Because one of the things that I do want to stress to the commission, and I really appreciate, you know, some of the form of data, I get phone calls daily. This is a safety concern. This is a problem. And I have to go somehow rationalize it. I have to be able to rationalize this. Otherwise, it's just a bonanza. You know, I'm doing anything and everything, and we don't have the resources. So what's nice about this new tool, 85th percentile speed, we have that. You have ADT. So that's another thing over here where you have vehicle volume. So for this one, you have 1,045 both ways. So that gives them 5 points because it's that second measure. So now what I can say is any time that we get a request, we can gather all of this data and we can do it. And whatever time period the commission suggests, we do it 1 week, we could do it 2 weeks, however long you want to make it, we can go ahead and do that.
Yeah, and it's not easy to find. I have a tag in the stuff that we got from Thomas, but what Jack's referring to is, remember, the scoring matrix, mm-hmm. and that's in those materials. But having the scoring matrix and so that page, and having the page, the score sheet, the improvement matrix is really helpful. You know, well, the score sheet and then the improvement matrix, which shows some of the choices that we've identified at the different levels, you know, those are helpful things to consider as we at least try to, and I guess my view would be, we try to be at least be aware of the data and have that available to us as we're making a decision, then at least we know if we're departing from it, you know, we know, then we have a, we probably want to have a pretty good reason, you know, to do mm-hmm. so.
See, the neighbors all noticed that one guy doing 56 miles an hour.
Well, and so I, when I had to do this, when I did this at my previous job, 56 is one thing. I saw, the worst I ever saw was like 98 on a local residential at like midnight. And it was a one-time thing. So unless you have a cop there ready to go in the middle of the night.
Get a Hemi.
So yeah, it's a very little box, and all we do is attach it to a light pole, and we have to direct it. It took me and Bill some time to get to know the little intricacies of it, but it's actually, once we now know how it works, it's very simple. You just plug it in to charge for a couple hours. You could leave it out there for a month without having to go back and charge it, and then you just bring it back in and upload it into the computer. I did have to go to IT because I needed special software. But once I figured that out, I know Matt was looking at me. I was like a nervous wreck. I was like, I have this data, but I can't get to it. Well, and I had to wait for IT to.
And Jack, you know, I don't know. We thank you, Matt, Bill, the village, whoever did it. I mean, getting that kind of tool is really helpful. And I will say too, I mean, the work that you did on this park project and going out and counting and going to the garage, I know the neighbors appreciate it, and it was, you know, very helpful. So I just want to thank you for collecting that information.
And the way it was presented was very nice too. You know, the pictures of the garage.
Oh, that was.
And I saw the same guard was there
every day. Me and him are buddies.
Doing the loop. He's just pointing everyone. Go around.
Just curious. Are you? Is it that private property? Is there any restriction on your being able to go in there and count?
So we, Matt can tell you, we met with Dominican twice in terms of just letting them know, like, hey, there's an issue here.
Yeah.
Just to give them a heads up. And they encouraged us. They said, you're welcome whenever. Come take a look. Come do whatever you need to do. It is technically their property, but they encouraged us, hey, come see what you need to see. So it was nice of them to be able to, you know, they didn't have any qualms of me showing up. I explained to them, because they did have their own garage data, I explained, while it's nice that you have that, I don't think it would look good from the commission's perspective or the village perspective if we're taking their data. You know, we would need it to be from us so that we can make a decision based on our stuff. So,
is
yeah.
Is it a place off their practice where they could build another garage?
It's... We've had.
I just thought. I mean, not that we're going to tell them they actually have a garage, but
Park might not want a large garage right there. I have.
So
that's probably the only spot is where the parking lot is.
No, they have the rear lot. Right behind Greenview, though, they have a big lot there, which would be right next to the existing parking garage.
So the discussion with Dominican, and they mentioned it here tonight, they have record enrollment. So. We already were like, well, you have record enrollment. That's great. Is there a plan? And they sort of said, well, this is record enrollment for the first time. They don't want to, their sort of phrase is, are we all of a sudden going to build something and then nothing comes, like nothing grows? So we'll see how they now are going to start planning based on what happened today and all that kind of stuff. And just the start of the school year. That first Monday, I'm going to give you guys just quick, and I'm going to make sure I'm not going to say that. That first Monday when school started, I was out there for a good hour because I got 3 phone calls from residents that were just very beside themselves in terms of how traffic was going and flowing and where people were parked. Then when I got out there, there were new students, freshmen, first time at school. They didn't know where to go. So then I'm standing there in a village car and I'm looking around just trying to see what's going on. And you can tell that it's gotten a little better because obviously people have adjusted. People have learned. People have dropped, which you don't want to say, but people have dropped. This may be an opportunity also for Dominican to reevaluate when their classes are scheduled. Because it seems like Mondays and Wednesdays are.
Jack, can we address this really quick? Because I wrote it down and I forgot to bring it up. Mr. Anderson mentioned going south on Park, there's no speed limit sign. So is that accurate?
Mr. Anderson, when he is one of the residents that called me. When he called me, his concerns were safety, concerns were other items, his concerns were parking. I explained to Mr. Anderson the process for parking and how that would get adjusted or how any signage gets adjusted in terms of new restrictions. But he made the comment, Jack, there are no parking or no speed limit signs anywhere. So I had Public Works do it that day.
Okay.
So we put up two new signs each direction,
okay,
25 miles per hour. And I took that upon myself because in my mind, that's the university. There's a lot of cars flowing. It just makes sense.
Good. Should take that off the list.
Did anybody give you unwelcome feedback?
I will say the comment that I got from my superintendent, he came back that afternoon and he started laughing. He's like, yeah, Jack, this old man came to me and said, I really caused some trouble over there, and that's probably why you're out here. And I'm like, well, so.
Okay, so I don't have, going back to, are we done with the parking garage?
Are we done overall? Or
No. Are we addressing Iowa and Monroe?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, you ready to wrap it up?
Is that...
Right. So.
Yeah.
So I can do a quick overview in terms of what was provided for Washington.
Yeah, please do. That was, the Ballard's been interesting, helpful. And I did see that they studied the effect of the Ballard's, and while there was some increase in volume and they weren't sure if that was partially the explanation for the reduction in speed, with the addition of the Ballard's on Washington, that the speed has dropped significantly. Go ahead, Jack.
Correct. So our initial speed study, the village-wide traffic study, mentioned that Washington showed excessive speeding, just generally way over the 85th percentile was over what it should have been. Then when you looked at it, we introduced the Ballard's to see if that would decrease that 85th percentile. One of the reasons we asked Thomas to do the reevaluation, because we wanted to make sure it was identical, you know, apples to apples. In the future, we'll be using our new tool. Like, we'll be doing these things on our own. We wanted to make sure this one was apples to apples. When they provided the feedback, they mentioned they saw a decrease 4 to 7 miles per hour, which is significant. And they mentioned that in their study. From our perspective, we also wanted to make sure that we had that feedback for when we put in our ITEP grant application, which is due by the end of this month. So we'll be able to say, hey, these were temporary things that we put in to see if this would in fact cause a change or a difference. Now we will be looking for those permanent solutions to make sure that this is long-term.
And I saw that Thomas noted that while the Ballard's are great and seem to be working, they reiterated their recommendation that we move forward with the other recommendations too. Is that part of your grant?
Correct. So as we go for the grant, we technically are putting in what Thomas put into the village-wide traffic study. But once we get into the actual process, phase one, phase two construction, phase one, there will be two public meetings. So there's still going to be significant resident feedback, village feedback on, okay, do we like that measure exactly? Or maybe we want to adjust it, do different things. So that's the initial that we put the grant in for how much money. There's a lot of stuff in there. So there's enough ample money, but it could still change. But it's based on our feedback.
Thank you.
Speed table for the... correct.
Okay, well, that's...
On to... In the Forest Park there? Or did it only stop? I can't remember.
It just stops at Lathrop. At Lathrop.
Yeah, and then one comment about this.
You can almost see the barrel of cars almost.
Yeah.
I'd rather have morning. The moment you pass that, they all start doing the double. And now I have to do the mean driving of being in between bollards.
Wait, when the bollards? Oh, because they took the bollards down?
No.
No, on the forest park.
Once you get to forest. Once you get into Forest Park.
They almost pick up two-lane traffic. Oh, yeah. You have to be the mean person who's blocking them by,
both lanes, yeah.
By standing right in between and kind of hugging you.
I'm a fan of those.
I was going to say, this is a great tool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd love to see, when you have time, not a rush, Thatcher,
okay.
Thatcher, north of Chicago. I mean, everything going on there, and I can speak from experience. I know, I think I mentioned to you, the one time, I never turned left off of Augusta onto Thatcher, and the one time I did it, I looked left, I looked right, I looked left. I'm ready to pull out. Some guy must have been doing 80 miles an hour down Thatcher.
But then we have the whole biking.
And that's another project underway.
Yeah. Which, October 1st, hopefully everyone can come, potentially. We have the open house for Thatcher. So that'll be a significant, yeah.
You'll send a note out, Matt?
Yep.
Okay. How about
last thing regarding the petition we received for Forrest?
Oh, I missed that.
So, because it just came in yesterday.
Okay.
So,
hey, just a second, guys. There's one more
housekeeping item.
Wait, guys. Let's hold on. New one. What did we decide to do on Monroe and Iowa? I was.
We're not doing anything on Monroe and Iowa for lack of interest.
Okay,
lack of people.
I was filling up my water bottle. I missed that. Sorry.
I came back tonight across Chicago. The bollards, you can't. The ones that are on the exit, you can't see them in the dark.
So the stuff on Chicago, one of the things that we're adding, so I'll look at the bollards to see if they're just old and the reflectivity has gone away. We'll check on that. However, one of the things, because people keep hitting the fences, we added today little, like, strips, reflective strips on the corners of the fences, so hopefully people miss them.
Okay, Jack informs me that we got another petition in just shortly before the meeting, so if you don't mind telling us what that's about.
Yep, so yesterday we received a petition from the lady who was here at the last meeting about the no right turn or no left turn into Forest Avenue. Basically shutting off Forest Avenue so you can only come out and not go in.
Meaning if you're on north from North
Forest
Avenue?
I actually would want to mimic what is at Forest on, or what is
on Franklin? No, it's on Forest.
It's on Forest. She wants it on
North
Franklin.
Avenue, and she's on Franklin. And
correct. So to mimic the right.
I think the request was a barricade on North Avenue. I could be wrong, but just throwing that out there. It was in there. I'm throwing it out there.
Franklin. So yeah. So Forrest already has the right out only, the mini pork chop.
Okay.
And she wanted something similar on Franklin. She has the petitions for it. The only thing that I would suggest to the board before we take it up. So she did have the petitions for it. So it will be on the agenda probably next meeting. What I will say is, you know, we're talking about using our new tool that we have. That was going to be my first thing, to collect data, speeding and everything, because one of the things mentioned was that people were speeding, a lot of cars. Our new tool will be able to collect that data.
I think it's already no left turn from there.
It is.
No left turn into it, no left turn out. And she was just asking for the concrete to be put in.
Correct.
The leftover concrete from Greenfield and LaVoy.
Yeah.
You guys are done there, you just drop the rest.
Correct.
Yeah.
I think her comments at the last meeting was to, I think, fully close off. I don't know if she got feedback from neighbors or just wanted to.
She wanted the street blocked off completely?
I believe that was her comment. At
yeah.
The, last
okay,
meeting.
Well,
now, this, the petition doesn't fully say that, okay. But the restrictions that are in place do prevent people from using it.
I will say, you know, so Jack, you know, when you get something like that, to the extent you're able, I mean, we're not trying to direct what you do, but if, you know, when you're proactive and you're able to collect some of that data, that's great, you know, to have it handy.
Was this tool expensive?
$3,600 something dollars.
Okay,
not bad.
$5,000, yes.
we were thrilled with the output.
Yeah, we and we.
Yeah.
Well, and we reached out to a couple different villages. We reached out to Skokie, who uses this regularly, and they gave us feedback that, yeah, it's very easy to use this and that. Like I said, I was used to the tubes in Northbrook, and that's not great because you got to, you know, pound spikes into the ground and do all stuff like this. This one, just put it on a pole, let it go. So.
Okay. Everybody, thank you. Is there a... How about a motion to adjourn? Is there a second?
A second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All right.